Okay, this is week two, class two, Wisdom of God. We just finished with Proverbs 8:34. Now let's look at Proverbs 8:35, another thing that wisdom will produce for us. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now first off, let's look at this concept of life. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, this is talking about your born-again spirit, not the Holy Ghost. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the spirit that you have on the inside of you, literally, it is the life of God that He has deposited on the inside of you. And Galatians chapter 5, turn over there. In Galatians 5, verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, this word Spirit, again, as we've covered before, it should not be capitalized. It's not talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. It's talking about walking or living according to your born-again spirit, the life that God has given to you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, wisdom says, Whoso findeth me, findeth life. Well, when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our born-again, or as our Savior, and we become born again, we have received His life. Now, think of it like this. Imagine that somebody has given to you a gift, but they've hidden it in your house. I remember one year, I bought Kathy a Christmas present, and I really don't even remember what the present was, but I hid it in the house. And what I did was come up with a series of little limericks or poems that would describe where the next clue was on how to find this. And so I had the first clue hidden, or it was under the tree. So she opened it and then had a little rhymy thing, and she had to figure out what it was talking about. And then when she figured it out, she'd go to that place and there'd be another envelope, and it would have another rhyme in there, and it would describe where the next clue was. And she'd have to figure out where it is, and then, oh yeah, she'd go. Well, eventually she found the present. Now, it was hers the whole time, but she had to find it. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now wisdom says, you find me, you find life. Or in other words, you've received life the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you need to understand what this life is all about and how to live according to this life. Therefore, if you find me, or if you get in my presence, if you'll spend time with me, wisdom, then I'm going to be able to instruct you about the life that you have received from Jesus Christ. You'll know how to live that way. You'll know how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know, I can remember, I honestly believed that there were things in, let's call it sin, that there were certain sins that I knew God didn't like, but someday they'll come out of my life. You know what I mean? Because God, the Holy Ghost, will take them away. And I've heard people, you know, want prayer. You know, just pray that God will take this away from me. God's not going to take your sin away. But what He's going to do is help you understand that you don't have to sin. Wisdom says, look, if you just spend some time with me, I'm going to be able to help you understand where to find the life that you have received. Well, it's in me, but if I don't know how to tap into it, or if I don't know where to find it, I won't know how to live by it. Wisdom says, boy, do I have the answer for you. I can help you find what's been deposited on the inside of you. Now, ultimately, our conscience, the voice, so to speak, of our born-again spirit, will convict us if we start getting into sin. Wisdom is going to help us understand that conviction as though we didn't need it. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, a lot of times, religious training can tell you that some things are okay. I'll give you an example. I could not believe I heard this, but there was a pastor who was doing some premarital counseling with a couple, And he actually encouraged them to take showers together so they get to know each other better. Well, I guess so. Now, let's say that you're that couple and you're hearing this. Well, this is the man of God. Something about that doesn't sound right. But the man of God said it's okay. But something just doesn't sound right. But the man of God said it's okay. Well, let's see what wisdom has to say. Wisdom says, wait a minute. What you're sensing on the inside is what you really need to be listening to. Don't listen to that man of God. He's not telling you right because he's not listening to me. But I, wisdom, will tell you that what you're sensing inside is really the right choice. Don't take showers together. It's not right. It's like, oh, okay. Well, can you imagine going back?
Well, how were the showers?
Well, we didn't do that. Well, why not? Well, because, you know, we spent some time with wisdom. And wisdom's smarter than you. That's why we're leaving this church and going somewhere. Nevertheless, wisdom says, you find me, you find life. Now this next one, boy do I like this next one. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. This little phrase is one of the most powerful statements that God has made anywhere in Scripture. I rank it right up there with, I mean, if you had to have a category of the best things God's ever said, this is one of them, right here. Now let's talk about this thing of favor here for just a moment. Again, leaving your place in Proverbs, let's start back in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, favor and preference are not the same. Now think with me for a moment. Let's say that you have five children in the house. You're the parent and you have five children. Well, you love all of those children equally. But let's say that four of them are acting up and one of them is being obedient. Which one of them is going to be in your favor? The one that's obedient. Now, it doesn't mean you prefer that one or love that one more than the others. It just means this one's doing, you know, Johnny's doing what I told him to. The rest of you kids aren't. That's why Johnny got the ice cream and you guys didn't. You weren't doing what I told you to do. Johnny obeyed. He did his chores. He gets the ice cream. Now, I love all of you. You're all my children. And I don't love Johnny more than you. He just did what he was supposed to. That's what this, using that, that's what, you know, the concept of favor is about. It's not that God's going to prefer you over anybody. He's going to love everybody just the same. But his favor is not going to be extended to everybody. And that's very important to remember. The more we conform to Christ, the more we can receive from the Father. Again, think of it like this. You take a kid into a store, a little kid into a store, and give him $100. Now, what's that kid probably going to buy? Candy and toys, right? What if you suggest buying clothes? I don't think so. Vegetables? No way. Books? Uh-uh. Not unless they're comic books. Spider-Man, Superman, yeah. So you're not going to give that child $100 because you know what that child's going to do. But you might give the child a couple of dollars. Yeah, go ahead, buy a candy bar. One candy bar. You see what I'm saying? Well, the more that we conform to the image of Christ is the more God can trust us with His favor and can trust us with things that He would give to us. It's because we will have grown and matured to the point of not consuming it upon our own lusts, if you will. God's favor impacts our relationships with others, especially in the business world. If you're in any kind of a business whatsoever, operating in the favor of God is going to take you so far in being profitable or to being a benefit to your company, or if you own the company. I mean, the whole thing's going to benefit God. I taught an entire course one time on the favor of God. And you just cannot imagine how powerful this is. And we're just going to get a smidgen of it here tonight. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, God is talking to Moses. This is before the Israelites come out of Egypt. And God says, look, verse 20, to start there. I'll stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Talking of Pharaoh. And I will give this people, the Israelites, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. In other words, now who's going to do this thing with the favor? God. God says, I'm going to do a work and cause you to have favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. This is going to be my favor. And you do what I'm telling you to do, this is going to be one of the results. Not only will you get released, this is going to be one of the results. Well, this is God said this in Exodus 3. We won't have to look at it, but in Exodus 12:36, this is where this favor was manifested in the lives of the Israelites, where they took all this gold and all the silver and so forth, and they came out extremely wealthy. Now look over in Psalm chapter 5. And verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Oh, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, without going into a whole lot of detail about this verse, he says, God's going to bless the righteous. With favor, he's going to compass him, the righteous person, as with a shield. Now, here's the image that this gives. Imagine everywhere that you go, there is this glowing light emitting from you. Everywhere that, you know, you've seen those pictures of Jesus, and it's like he has this glow coming off of his head, like little Jesus the baby, this glow coming off of his head, all right, halo, whatever you want to call it. Imagine that coming off of you. Did you see that movie? Not that I, you know, would recommend the movie so much now, but many years ago when it first came out, the movie Ghost. Remember Patrick Swayze in that movie died, and it kind of portrayed him as having this glow around him after he died. All right, imagine that being around you, and it's God's favor. And every time that you get close enough to somebody, they are touched by this glow. And they react to it in accordance to what it's supposed to produce in them. Every time you shake hands with someone, pat someone on the back, give them a hug, whatever it would be, they come in contact with this aura that's around you. Now, I'm just trying to create imagery here, okay? He says, Lord, you're going to bless the righteous, and with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So as a shield would be like a protection around you, this favor is wrapped around you like a shield. Now, here's what happens when you operate in the favor of God. Things go your way. I'll use analogies that maybe would help you understand. If you're in the business world and you're the sales rep, you get the sale, even if you're charging more than the other guy. You get the land. You get the building. You get this. You get that. In other words, things go your way when you're operating in the favor of God. I can remember one time I was at a ministry conference, and there were some ministers there that I had never met. And so I began, prior to the conference, I began confessing God's favor over my life and began applying verses, you know, some of what we've seen here, began applying verses that deal with favor to me. And I, well, for example here, Psalm 5:12, where it says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him with a shield. I would confess something like this, you know, Lord, I am your righteousness. I am the righteousness of God, and I am blessed. With favor you have compassed me as with a shield. I am compassed. I am wrapped. I am encased in your favor. Everywhere I go, you know, your favor is there with me, etc. and so forth. And there are some other verses here we'll look at in just a few moments. Well, I'll have you know that as I was doing this, and the reason I did it was because I wanted favor. I wanted to be able to meet these ministers that were ministering at this conference. And maybe there was some pride involved with that. I mean, you know how it is. You know, you just sometimes want to meet people. But I didn't want to do it out of selfish motives. I just wanted to meet them. And you know what? Before that conference was over, I had met every single one of those ministers. Every single one of them actually came down off the platform and stopped and walked over to me, shook my hand and hugged me, and did not know me from Adam. Now, this stuff works. It's God's word, God's principles. It works. Now, you talk about being excited. It's like, I was more excited about the fact it worked than the fact that I met them. You know, well, this is cool. God's word really does work. Well, he says, look, God's favor will compass you. Now, you see, this can have an impact on your job. One of the worst things you can do is fuss and bellyache about your job conditions. I know they stink. I know, you know, you want to sing a Johnny Paycheck song. I know. Some of you don't know that Johnny Paycheck song. Take this job and... All right. Well, anyhow, the worst thing you can do is complain about it, because you're just going to emphasize the conditions. If you operate in wisdom, you're not going to complain about it. Not only that, God's favor begins to cover you. Now, the people that are listening to this by tape, this is one of the most intense, powerful principles you'll ever hear if you are incarcerated in prison. I've never been in prison, and I know the conditions stink. But if you continually fuss and complain about the system, about the guards, about the parole system, about the warden, about everybody else, all you're going to do is make your life more miserable than what it is right now. But if you operate in wisdom, these kind of things will never, ever cross your lips, and God's favor will begin to operate in your life, and you're going to begin walking in His favor in the prison system. Yes, I can give you an example. Remember our good friend Joseph? How many remember Joseph, the story of Joseph? God gave him favor with the captain of the guard. And Joseph didn't, if you go back and read that story in Genesis, Joseph, he was locked up, but he wasn't locked up. He had liberties. Joseph, remember the favor with the Pharaoh? Remember that? I mean, on and on this thing goes. It's the perfect example of what can happen for somebody if they're incarcerated. It doesn't mean the conditions are going to change dramatically, but they'll change as much as they can change. Walking in God's favor makes a powerful change or affects your conditions in a powerful way. Look over in Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now stop for a moment and think about what this verse is saying. They'll walk in the light of thy countenance. Think of it another way. They'll walk in your glory. Everywhere you go, you're going to walk in His glory. I mean, listen, this passage right here is one we could preach on for quite a while. But I got to rein it in. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Now where it says horn, that word horn could be interpreted strength, or it could be interpreted anointing. In thy favor our horn shall be exalted, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel our King. Now think of this. In thy favor our horn shall be exalted. As I'm walking in the favor of God, any of us, then our strength, our influence is going to be increased, or it's going to be exalted. When you're walking in the favor of God, again, think in terms of just being cloaked in His favor. And there's a passage in the Bible, I don't remember if we've got it down here as one of the references, but there's a passage in the Bible that talks about the image is His favor going before you. In other words, like Him laying a highway of His favor before you so that, you know where it talks about every place your foot shall tread, He's given it unto you. All right, that's one way to think of it. His favor can go before you and create an atmosphere conducive for you to be welcomed. In other words, let's say you're going into a business meeting or a sales meeting and you're going to have to make this presentation to people that already you don't think they are going to be very receptive. They've already maybe indicated beforehand that, well, you know, we'll listen, but don't get your hopes up or whatever. Well, God's favor can create an atmosphere. The moment you walk into that room, they don't know why. They want to listen to you. They want to hear what you have to say. And then when it's over, they're signing the contract. They're buying something that they didn't even think they wanted to buy. God's favor can create an atmosphere conducive for you to be successful in life. Wisdom says, look, I caused this to happen for you. When you're operating in me and by me, God's favor begins operating in your life. It begins covering you. It begins exalting you. It begins promoting you. It begins going before you. Take a look over in Proverbs 16. Look at verse 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. You remember, you know how we've talked so much about, or you've heard sermons about, you know, the former and the latter rain, and all. And people are talking about the anointing and the power and the presence of God and revival and all that. Well, here, look at this. It says that God's favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. His favor is like, okay, so if we think in terms of anointing and glory and all those other things related to the term latter rain, God's favor is the cloud that rains it upon your life. This is incredible. Well, but so many people don't understand this. Well, again, it goes back to what wisdom said. Wisdom says, look, get in here with me. And I will instruct you in such a way that God's favor ends up operating in your life, in every aspect of your life. Not just in the business world, your spiritual, your ministry, everything that goes on in your life. God's favor, it's like, you ever heard somebody say things like, well, I just feel like there's this dark cloud over me. You know, praise God. I want a cloud over me. I want a favor cloud. Hallelujah. I want a favor cloud to pour out the latter rain. Amen. Look over in Daniel chapter 1. Verse 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, to really get the full impact of all this, we should go back and read from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, up to verse 9. But essentially, you know, Israel had been taken into captivity, Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was a part of this. He was taken captive as well. But here it says that God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Well, the prince of the eunuchs were the people that, well, they were men, and one of their responsibilities was to stand guard over the queen or the concubines, the wives of the king, that kind of a thing. And the reason they had that responsibility was because they were eunuchs, because eunuchs have a, you know, very particular type of surgery performed so that they're no longer any kind of a threat when it comes to improper actions with the queen or the concubines. And the prince of the eunuchs, this was a very high-ranking individual who had a strong relationship, maybe not a strong friendship, but a strong relationship, so to speak, with the king. And if the prince of the eunuchs said anything bad about you, you know, you could be in a whole lot of trouble, because the prince of the eunuchs was the one who was over the ones who were guarding the queen and the concubines and the other ladies in there. Well, here it says that God worked in a way to where Daniel had favor with the prince of the eunuchs. Now listen, maybe it would be like having favor with the Secretary of State, you know, here in this country, or you know, somebody, a very high-ranking official. And here's Daniel, a Jew, a guy who had been taken captive. He has favor with this high-ranking official. Now think about that. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if the body of Christ were to tap in to wisdom and begin operating by the favor of God? Can you imagine what the political climate of this country would be? The impact we could have. You know, Christians that protest abortion go to the clinics and march around and stop this. And you know, if God is directing you to do that, well then, man, have at it. You do what God's telling you to do. But there's a whole lot of shouting and a whole lot of petitioning and a whole lot of protesting and so forth that I'm not going to say it's wrong, but if the body of Christ were operating by wisdom in the favor of God, a lot of these things wouldn't be going on. Changes would have already taken place. People just don't understand this, though. But again, this is something that we see clearly in God's Word. Now, we haven't even been taken captive in this country. Daniel had been. And look at what God did in his life. The same thing can be true for every single one of us. You can end up getting promotions on the job that, you know, you've been there maybe 2, 3, 5, 10 years less than somebody else, and you get the promotion. Well, how is that? Well, the favor of God. Well, it just doesn't seem fair. Well, it's the favor of God. But it doesn't just happen because God likes you. He already loves you. It's operating by wisdom, and wisdom causes the favor of God to be cloaked over you, to go before you, to operate in your life, to reach out and hit the hearts of other people, to cause them to be inclined to be favorable towards you. Christians that, well, I'll just say it this way. There are a whole lot of Christians, their life would be very different if they would understand this principle about God's wisdom and God's favor. A whole lot of things would be different for them than what they're going through right now. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never have any kinds of problems. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul, okay? That guy had a lot of things he had to go through. But you can also see how that he operated in the favor of God, and that God's favor... look, you know, when a messenger of Satan has been sent to buffet you, you're going to encounter some situations here and there. But never. What if Paul had not had God's favor operating in his life? What if he had not been operating by the wisdom of God? We probably wouldn't have a whole lot of books in the Bible that we presently have that Paul wrote. Okay, so turn back over there to Proverbs chapter 8. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. 8:35. This is not a maybe. This is a guarantee from God. You operate by wisdom, you shall obtain my favor. Man, this is powerful. Absolutely incredible. It's the closest thing to a magic wand, I think, that you could have. And we know nothing like that exists, but you understand what I'm saying. His favor operating in your life. Now take a look at chapter 9, verse 11. Something else that wisdom produces. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. I like this one. This one makes an impression on me. God says... Wisdom is speaking here. By me, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. This is God's promise. How do you live a longer life? Wisdom. It's right here in the Word of God. Wisdom. Now, let me share some things with you relative to this. You know, here it says in the outline, wisdom impacts our health. I'll give you an example. Many of you know him, Gary Carpenter, and many of you have heard his testimony about how he had a heart problem And this particular heart problem is the kind that kills people. It wasn't like a blockage of the arteries. It had to do with the way the heart beats. And it can cause, well, it caused him to pass out one time when he was a truck driver. He opened the truck door, and you know those big semis, you know, you fall out of one of those, you got a long drop. Well, he fell out on his head, and he woke up in a pool of his own blood. That's because of what was wrong with his heart. Well, it was diagnosed, and he was put on medication. And, you know, he didn't want to take the medication, but he was doing it. But at the same time, he understood God's principles. So, you know, he's confessing the Word of God, and he's doing things that he was doing, actually, were causing wisdom to begin to operate in his life. And he began getting off of the medication. Well, now, the medical profession would say, but you can't do that because the condition of your heart is irreparable. You know, you can't just operate and change it. Not like cleaning out a blocked artery. You can't. The medication is the only thing that can help you with this. And if if you stop the medication, you're going to die. Well, wisdom began operating in his life, and he knew when to cut his medication in half and how long to do it that way. And then he knew when to cut it down to 1/4 and how long to do it that way. And he knew when to stop taking it altogether. And he doesn't have the problem anymore. It's completely gone, and there's no medication. He's going to outlive that affliction, whatever it was. You understand what I mean by that? Operating by the wisdom of God, I've heard testimonies of people that somehow, just Christians now, that we're talking about, they understood a medical condition in their body before they ever went to the doctor. And when they got there, they already knew what the doctor was going to say. I've known of people, Christians, testifying along these lines of what to do to correct a situation in their body. And they did not go to a doctor. They just understood what to do. One particular person was talking about how that they knew that they were supposed to make some changes in their diet, and it would clear up a condition that the doctors couldn't clear up. They made those changes, and the thing completely cleared up and went away. The medical people couldn't really explain that, but he could. He was operating in the wisdom of God. Well, there are other examples I could give you, but what I'm getting at is this. When you're operating in the wisdom of God, that wisdom is going to help you know how to correct your health, whatever that means, relative to whoever, to correct your health, and is going to help you to live longer. Wisdom has the power to cause you to live a longer life. Now, if you don't operate in the wisdom of God, how many of you understand? We have some people here that will understand this because of, you know, their background in the medical profession. Some people genetically are predisposed to certain medical conditions. Now, it's not a generational curse. It's just, unless you want to call what happened with Adam. I mean, I guess technically you can say, you know, it's been passed down through the corruption of the body, which is a result of sin. Not that these people sin, but, you know, just something's wrong with the genes, the DNA. I mean, something's wrong there, and they're predisposed to certain medical conditions. Well, in some cases, they're predisposed to die young. And medically, there is nothing that can be done about that. Wisdom can help people live longer lives. You say, well, Brother Martin, it just sounds like maybe that's a little far-fetched. But look again, right here. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. That is so cut and dry. You don't need to Hebrew this out to figure out what it's saying. Wisdom says, if you have me operating in your life, you're going to be able to live longer. This is so simple. How do you live a longer life? Operate in the wisdom of God. Well, I thought you had to eat right. Well, wisdom just might help you know how to eat. It's not like we don't know already. You know what I'm saying? But you understand where I'm coming from on this. According to the Word of God, when you start tapping into the wisdom of God, wisdom can tell you... All right, I'll give you an example that is so abstract that it technically doesn't apply, but it might make an impact on you. Remember the blind man that Jesus ministered to? He spit, made mud, you know, on the guy's eyes, go wash in the pool. He did, comes back, he can see. All right? That makes no sense whatsoever. But that's what he knew he was supposed to do. In our lives, individually, we won't need Jesus to come and do that for us. Wisdom might say, spit, make mud, and smear it on your eyes. Now, I don't think that will ever happen, but what I'm trying to get at is wisdom, operating in the wisdom of God, might cause you to understand to do something that doesn't make sense to the people around you, but wisdom has spoken to you, and you know you're supposed to do that. And you do it, and something changes in your body, and a healing is produced. All I know is this. See, I can't clinically describe this process, but I can tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, I'm wisdom by me. Your days are going to be multiplied. You're going to live a long life. It is a promise from God. Well, this right here tells you that Christians shouldn't be dying young. This right here tells you that when it comes to sickness and disease, a little child dies from leukemia, a 12-year-old, and somebody says something, just so ludicrous as, well, I guess God needed another flower for heaven's garden. No, the Bible says, multiplied days, long life. Adults that die young from, I guess it was just their time. No, the Bible says, long life, long years. This is what the Bible says. But you have to operate by wisdom. And wisdom guarantees that these things are going to happen for us. All right, let's go on to the next point. Now, this one ought to make everybody happy. Proverbs 8, verses 18 through 21. Wisdom says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't want to be healthy and live a long time, but you need money and stuff. Wisdom says, no problem. I can help you get all you can handle. Now, let's walk through this a little bit before we take our break. In verse 18, it says riches. It comes from a Hebrew word that means wealth and to accumulate wealth. To accumulate wealth. All right, now how do you accumulate wealth? One penny at a time. You can't accumulate if it's not accumulating. Do you see what I'm saying? Which means that it's not just a matter of getting to a certain point and stopping. It's describing a process here. Wealth and to accumulate wealth. Then the word honor, from a Hebrew word that means honor, esteem, abundance, and wealth. Now let me just stop right here and interject something before we go any further with any more of these words. This verse, this passage right here that we're reading, absolutely refutes the poverty mentality in the body of Christ. If you're operating in the wisdom of God, now listen closely to what I'm saying here. I'm getting ready to unload a profound statement. If you are operating in the wisdom of God, you cannot stay poor. You can't. If you're operating in the wisdom of God, you cannot stay poor. Now, I didn't say everybody in here is going to be a bazillionaire, okay? Don't misunderstand that. I'm saying you can't stay... What's the Word of God say here? I mean, what have we just learned here now, the first verse that we've read? If we're operating by the wisdom of God, you can't stay poor. I'm not promising an overnight change. I'm saying you can't stay poor. Wisdom says, I'll cause these things to happen in your life. Now, let's look at a few more here. In verse 18, you see the phrase durable riches. The word durable means valued, durable, and the word riches means riches, substance, wealth. So the phrase durable riches can mean, or could, you know, you could interpret it to mean substance that is not fleeting, but enduring. Let me give you an example. There was a guy down in Florida that hit the lottery. I don't know how much he won. It was at least $1 million. Roughly, it was not a full 12 months to the day later, but a year later, they found the guy dead in a gutter, penniless, living on the streets. A year prior to that, he had won $1 million. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I would like to think that if I won $500,000, I would not be dead in a gutter a year from now, having been living on the streets. Wisdom says, I'll cause you to have durable riches, substance that is not fleeting, but enduring. Another way to think of that is, you operate in the wisdom of God, you're going to know what to do with it when you get it. And you're not going to blow it. Three Cadillacs will be enough. Not 10. Not that you want three, but you understand what I'm saying. Durable riches. You're not going to blow it. Wisdom is going to, through this wisdom, you're going to know what to do with what you have. Now remember, this is God's wisdom, not man's. Okay? And the way it's durable in your life may completely blow the minds of what is called conventional financial wisdom. But when you're operating by God's wisdom, you're going to get it and know what to do with it when you get it. Verse 21. Verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now somebody might say, now wait a minute, Brother Martin. In verse 18, it sounds like gold and silver. And revenue. Well, yes, verse 18 is all of those things, and whatever means wealth. Well, then he comes along and says, wisdom says, but my fruit's better than gold, better than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver. Okay, have you heard this proverb? I don't know where it came from. You know, the old Chinese proverb or whatever. Give a man a fish, and he'll thank you. Teach him how to fish. He'll be your friend for life, or something like that. In other words, yeah, you can give him something to eat today, a fish, and you're going to solve his problem temporarily. But if you teach him how to fish, you're teaching him how to solve his problem for the rest of his life, the problem of hunger. That's what this verse 19 is talking about. My fruit, or what you're going to get from me, is better than the gold. I'll teach you how to get the gold. I'll teach you how to receive it. I'll teach you how to do what's necessary for it to come into your life. I don't give you gold. I cause you to understand how to get the gold, the silver, the durable riches. And do you see what I'm saying here in this? That's why the fruit of wisdom is better than the gold itself. Because when you're operating in the fruit of wisdom, you'll understand maybe not necessarily how to get gold. Maybe you'll understand how to invent a faster computer chip. One that's 10 times faster than anything that exists right now. So, do you think that could produce durable riches in your life? Gold and silver? You better believe it. So wisdom is saying, look, my fruit is better than all of those things. And right now, a break is better than continuing. So, we'll pick up in about 5 minutes.